Good morning. Thank you. It's good to be back. I heard someone say, welcome back. It is good to be back in the house of the Lord, worshiping with you. Last Sunday, we were in Rome, and I went to go to the Basilica for their Mass in the morning, but you had to get in the lineup for 4 hours. And I'm saying, absolutely not. So, just outside, I found a little church. Went to the church there for a service, stayed there for a few minutes, and then walked on to a little further down and went to another little service and attended that one for a short time because their doors are always open. You can just walk in, walk out as you please. And so last Sunday, I had an opportunity just to sit and listen to the services there. But I also had an opportunity to listen to the services that were conducted here as well over the last 3 weeks via Facebook and a webpage. And with that being said, thank you for each person that participated in my absence, who led the services while I was away, who shared the Word of God. Thank you so much. It gives me such confidence and joy to know that I can leave and these services are well in hand for the individuals that I've asked to lead. But here we are. Here we are in the house of the Lord. I pray that this morning that you've looked forward to this day, and that as we gather together in worship, that our Lord will be glorified and praised, and that he will be uplifted throughout this day. The book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 to 6, says, in that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. So with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy. People of Zion, people of St. Catharines, for great is the Holy One of Israel among us. And may God bless his word this morning. And may those words that we've shared together be encouragement to us today. Let us sing. Let us shout. Let us praise the Lord. We're going to stand together. The band already played through our opening song. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown him Lord of all. We'll sing the first three verses together, please. Thank you. fourth verse says, crown him, ye martyrs of our God, who from his altar call, extol the power of Jesus' blood, and crown him Lord of all. I want to ask this morning, is he the Lord of your life? Is he Jesus your Savior? Do you know him this morning? And that's a challenge that we need to put forth today, every day. We need to ask ourselves whether we've been in the faith for a short time or we've been in the faith for many years. Is he the Lord of my life? Is he my all? Is he sufficient to meet my need? Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Let's sing the final verse together, please. Now, I happened to prepare this order of service before I left, so this order of service has been prepared for several weeks. And the song that I had chosen for this morning, it's an older song. It's a song, I'm sure, that's familiar to the church, with the church. It's not one that we sing all that often anymore, but a few months back at our officers' retreat in Niagara Falls, we happened to sing this song. And as I said, you know, I've sung this song many, many times, perhaps to a point sometimes where it was sung so much that it just became, you know, a song that we sang, but we don't sing it all that often anymore. But I remember singing the song at the retreat, and the words spoke. Really spoke powerfully to me. It kind of stirred within me a thought of my relationship with the Lord, my trust in the Lord, my complete understanding of God and what God has done and what God will do in my life. And it called me to a place of prayer. Now the song says, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care. And when I was singing that song, I'm not saying that I was particularly burdened with too much care for the world, but it caused me to stop for a moment, and I say this and I share this with you because perhaps you yourself this morning are burdened with the cares of the world. And the cares of the world come in various forms. It could be sickness, and we all know what it is to go through sickness individually, but more deeply for loved ones and friends who are going through difficult times. The world is changing. People's ideas are changing. Philosophies are changing. The approach to how we view and accept life, it's changing. We're being influenced, whether we admit it or not. Sometimes we're being pulled away, whether we acknowledge it or not, from the foundation of the Word of God. And then the verse said, to make all my wants and wishes known. How much do we truly share with God? That's a question that I ask myself. How much do I truly share with God? Do I just share with God what I think he wants to know? Do I share with God what I think he wants to hear? Now, one of the things I've come to realize is that God knows all. whether we share it with him or not. God knows all. God knows what we're going through. But within our own understanding, do we share everything with God? Do we make all our wants and wishes known? In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. I want us to sing the first two verses of this song together this morning, but I want you to put yourself in a place. Put yourself in a place where for a few moments is just you and God. It's not the person sitting next to you. It's not about the person in front of you or behind you. It's just that place where you and God are. Now you can sing. You can pray. Whatever your means of worship in these few moments will look like, that'll be entirely up to you. But as we sing this song together, Sweet Hour of Prayer, may we just draw close to God and bring our needs before Him. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll Let's pray together. God, our Father, I thank you, Father, for this day. I thank you, Father, for being able this morning to get up out of bed, to do what I do in the morning, and to gather here in this place of worship today. Lord, may we never take for granted the air we breathe, the comfort of our home, the resources that are at our disposal. We are blessed people, and Lord, may we praise you and thank you every day for your presence in our lives. God, I know that we come this morning, we come a people who are blessed, a people who are thankful, a people who are at places in our lives that are experiencing this morning joy as well as sorrow, laughter as well as tears. And so, God, we gather together this morning just to pray and ask that you'll bless this service this morning, that God, first and foremost, in our relationship with you, our faith in you will be secured and strong. That we will see you this morning as our Savior and as our Lord, as our friend and as our Redeemer. That we will see you this morning as our healer and as our restorer. And God, I'm reminded today that none of us are exempt from the circumstances of life. God, all of us have and perhaps will experience sickness, sorrow. Perhaps this morning we are today, some of us today are going through circumstances and situations that's testing our faith, that's testing our mental as well as our physical. We pray, God, that you will just bless your people today. God, I look to the prayer list. Father, I want to acknowledge these names, the names of these people before you today. Lord, you know their needs. You know their circumstances. You know, Father, where they are in life. We thank you, Father, that today that you are with them. Whether it's at home, whether it's at the hospital, whether it's here this morning at church, wherever these individuals may be today, God, I know that you are with them. I know, oh Father, that you are there to comfort and to strengthen them. May they recognize you today. May they know you today. May they feel your presence today. God, I bring Emily before you this morning. I ask, God, that you will continue to strengthen her faith, her body. Lord, we know the situation and circumstances that she's going through. I think of Kevin, oh God. Lord, to hear the news of how his life has changed in recent days. God, be with him and with his family. I thank you for the report from Jennifer with how Nolan is doing. We thank you for that young life and for an answer to prayer. I pray for David Boone this morning. God, I just pray that as you continue to be with him and strengthen his body, oh God, we thank you that you've brought him this far. Continue to be with him and Sandra and the family. I think of Alton and Carol. Lord, we know what they are going through and what they will face in the coming days. And then, Lord, there are so many others on our list. I think of Rose and Jeff and Brian and Amy and Joan and Paul and John and Martin and Alan. I think of Roxana Hayden, God, diagnosed with a very rare cancer. Her road will be difficult, what lies before her. But Lord, just bless her today. And so, Father, we just ask that as we continue to commit ourselves to you today, as we continue to commit our service before you today, that, Lord, that you will bless every word, every song, everything that will be shared. In Jesus' name, amen. The third verse says, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share. Till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height, I view my home, and at the sight put off this robe of flesh, and rise to gain the everlasting prize, and realize forever there the fruits of the sweet hour of prayer. The final verse together. Thank you. Amen and amen. I've been asked by David Jr. to share with you this morning that David Boone is now up for visitation. If you want to go by and see David, just let either David Jr. or Sandra know, and they'll make arrangements that now you can go by and visit with David. So we praise God that he's strong enough now to receive some visitors. So we thank God for that. So if you'd like to go and see David Sr., then let David Jr. and Sandra know. Okay? God bless you.
And as we look at the announcements this week, our weekly schedule follows the normal pattern. But if you've looked at your bulletin and on that announcement page, it's just 2 weeks till the anniversary celebration. There are many things happening. Many of them you have to have a ticket for. So beginning on the Thursday, the Evergreen meeting is their summer barbecue. Please sign up by next Sunday, indicating beside your name whether you want a hamburger or hot dog, so they will be ready for you on that day. So that's on Thursday, June the 6th at noon, for the Evergreen 50 plus group. Then, on Friday evening, our youth are going to get together, and as I said last week, it sounds like an intriguing event. Trivial Pursuit meets Snakes and Ladders, so I'm not quite sure whether you have to climb the ladder answering questions or how it's working. Then we get to Saturday morning. It's the men's breakfast at 8 o'clock at Johnny Pastrami's on Lake Street. Major Don has any other details you might need to know about. Then Saturday afternoon at 1:30 in the afternoon, it's the ladies' turn. And it's a special ladies' event, tea, strawberry shortcake, some entertainment, and Commissioner Debbie Graves will be the guest that afternoon. But that's a ticketed event. It's free, but it's ticketed because they need to know the numbers. So if you need a ticket and haven't got one, please see Deborah, Tracy, Major Grace, and Judy's gone. Not here today. So those three people, see them if you haven't got your ticket for the ladies' event. And then finally on the Sunday is our anniversary Sunday with Commissioners Lee and Debbie Graves. Service is at 10:30, and then we're having our anniversary lunch, which again is a ticketed event. It's $10 for a catered buffet lunch, but again, we need to have numbers. So next Sunday, we're looking at cutting off the sale of the tickets. So if you need a ticket, please see Donna, Major Donna, or Major Lily today after the service. You could call into the office during the week if you needed, just so that we have the full number by next Sunday of who's coming for lunch. There's a couple of other announcements. Next weekend, there's the Women's Conference in Toronto, I would guess. It's still in our bulletin, but I would guess if you are interested, registration is probably closed by now, but certainly there's information on the bulletin board if you're interested. And then on the 15th of June, it's a youth event happening in the afternoon at 2 o'clock with the youth bands, youth choruses, and the youth worship team. And now, just prior to us taking our tithes and offering, we have visitors today. From what I was told, Carol is here from New Brunswick. I don't know, do you attend the Salvation Army in New Brunswick? In what city? What city? Pardon?
In Sussex.
Okay. And she's brought a friend with her today, so we're glad to see you. Unfortunately, apparently you were here last Sunday and I didn't see you or recognize you, but she's brought her friend today and she's leaving to go back home this week. So we're glad you joined us for at least these two Sundays. Now we'll take up our tithes and offering. Let us pray. Lord, thank you this morning that we do have this opportunity of giving to you through our monetary gifts, our tithes and offering to be used for your kingdom. Guide all those who make the decisions as to how to use the money for you, for your service, for the growth of our church. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Just one further announcement. It's not in the bulletin, but a while back, the bulletin was carrying individuals who were interested in doing some information classes, soldier classes, that I'm going to do this Thursday. So this Thursday at 7 o'clock, if you're interested, come by the church, and we'll just share together in those information classes. Okay, so this coming Thursday at 7 o'clock. Now let's turn together to the book of James, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we're going to go down to verse 13. James chapter 1, verse 13 to verse 18. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. And may God bless the reading of his word this morning. Well, we're going to stand together again. We're going to sing another song. The band will take their place as we sing this song together. It says, sing we the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Life and salvation his empire shall bring. Joy to the nations when Jesus is King. Come, let us sing praise to our King, Jesus our King, Jesus our King. Let's stand with me as we sing the first two verses. Says all shall be well in his kingdom of peace. Underline that word peace. Peace in heaven. Freedom shall flourish and wisdom increase. Foes shall be friend when his triumph we sing. Sword shall be sickle when Jesus is King. The fourth and fifth verse together, please.
Thank you.
little children's time this morning. So that means that you may have to remain and listen to me for some time this morning. But consider it a treat to listen to me for a few moments. Well, Lorraine is going to come right now. She's going to bless us with a vocal before we hear from the Word of God. And looks like she's accompanied by Hope. God bless you both.
The song that I've chosen to sing this morning is out of our tune book, our hymn book. It's song 876. If you have a book in front of you and you want to follow along, it's The Wonder of His Grace.
Thank you, Lorraine. You hit those top notes precisely. Good for you. Can anyone pull out their notes from a few weeks back, my last sermon here, and just give me an update as to where we are? I'm just checking to see if anybody took notes from Before I left, most of you are aware, I started a three-week mini-series on the book of James. I did 1 week before I left, and I'm doing week two and three leading up to the anniversary weekend. So I just wanted to see if anybody could just fill us in to the first week before I left. I'm not going to ask that you do, but I just want to give a little refresher before we get into the study of this morning. So James chapter 1, verse 13 to 18. Today we're going to look at how to handle temptation. How to handle temptation. In the last sermon, which goes back 4 weeks ago, we learned about turning our trials into triumphs. Now, if you weren't here that Sunday, I shared with the congregation how to turn our trials into triumphs. We talked about the fact that life is difficult, but that in spite of our difficulties, our toughest times can be marked by joy. We learned that perseverance produces maturity, and that God promises the wisdom or the strength that we need. We learn that faith is critical for developing perseverance, and we learn that there are promised blessings for those who remain faithful through the trials that are to come. James chapter 1, verse 12, the verse just before we pick up with this morning's lesson, says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the victor's crown, the life God promised to those who love him." One interesting thing about James and about James' discussions that comes through his book is that he used a Greek word that has two different meanings. And he used this particular word both ways in this chapter. Trials. Trials. In the first 12 verses, the word trial is translated temptation. And in verses 13 to 18, the word trials, the word temptation, can refer to external stresses that press us, or that can refer to internal attractions that tempt us. Now, although there's not always a way or a connection between trial and temptation, many times the trials on the outside can become temptations on the inside. In the midst of adversity, we may be tempted to think or act in a sinful manner. We may find ourselves compromising with God. We may find ourselves in a situation we're complaining against God. And we may find ourselves in a situation or in a place where we question God's love. And we may find ourselves in a place or situation where we resist God's love. This morning, I want us to look at four facts about temptation if we are going to understand and be able to handle the temptations that we face in life. First of all, this morning, we must realize that temptation is inevitable. How many of us were tempted not to come to church this morning? For one reason or another. Ladies, the J's are on this morning. Right? When James writes about temptation, he's dealing with real stuff. These are not wistful thoughts that I share as a preacher this morning, but these are painful, difficult life experiences that are realities to us each and every day. Temptation strikes us all in one form or another. It affects us. It can affect us in the workplace, and it can affect us in our home. It can affect parents. It can affect children. It can affect teachers. It can affect students, leaders, as well as followers. James leaves no questions that temptation assaults us all. It will come. Notice that James says, when tempted. He doesn't say, if tempted. Just like death and taxes, we've heard it before, trials and temptations are inevitable in this life. We will never be without temptation. We are certainly in for a big surprise if we think this morning that as Christians, that when we become a Christian, all our old struggles and temptations will be automatically left behind, because that is not the case. The Christian life is a life of conflict. It's a life filled with temptations. We are, as Christians, in a spiritual battle. There are forces opposing us constantly to try and draw us away from God. Here's an important thing to keep in mind. Temptation itself is not a sin. Understand that this morning. Temptation itself is not a sin. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that Jesus himself was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Temptation is simply the invitation to sin. We sin when we decide to accept the invitation. Jesus was invited to sin, just as we are. But Jesus always refused the temptation. So first of all, we need to realize that temptation is inevitable. Secondly, we must realize that giving in to temptation is inexcusable. What James is doing here is calling us to assume personal responsibility for handling temptation. We must not blame anyone else, nor shift our responsibilities to anyone else or to anything else. Temptation does not come from God, and it is not God's fault when we give in to it. Proverbs 19:3, it says, a man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. God does not send us tests and trials for our own good, God is never involved in tempting anyone to do evil. And sometimes it seems that within our human tendencies, we want to blame someone or something else when we fall into the temptations of sin. How many of us have said, the devil has made me do it, or the devil made me do it? Yeah. Yeah, sure we have. It is certainly true that Satan is an active agent in temptation, but he's often given more credit than necessary. When Adam and Eve, I'm going to go back to the creation, I'm going to go back to the beginning. When Adam and Eve gave in to temptation in the Garden of Eden, and God confronted them and asked, "What have you done?" Do you remember what they said? Adam said, "She made me do it." Right? In Genesis 3:12, "The woman you put here with me, she made me do it." That's what he said. Eve then said, "The serpent deceived me. He made me do it." We may try to come up with excuses or try to shift the blame, but if we give in to temptation, whose fault is it? It's my fault. It's my fault. The statements, "I couldn't help it, the devil made me do it, it's my parents' fault, it's my husband's fault, it's my wife's fault, it's my kid's fault, it's my boss's fault," it's not true. If and when we give into temptation, it is never God's fault. It's our fault. It's our fault. God always provides a way of escape, but many times we simply do not choose His ways. We choose our ways. Whew. What a confession. If I yield to sin, it's not your fault. It's my fault. It's my fault. Thirdly, this morning, temptation is predictable. Understanding this is invaluable in claiming a victory over temptation. Temptation is more than an event. It's a process. The process of temptation, sin and death follows a very consistent pattern. In James verses 14 and 15, it says, "But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." Here is Peterson's paraphrase. He says, "The temptation to give in to evil comes from us and only us. We have no one to blame but the leering, seducing flare-up of our own lust. Lust gets pregnant and has a baby, sin. Sin grows up to adulthood and becomes a real killer." The predictable pattern goes like this. Desire, coupled with deception, leads to disobedience, which ultimately leads to death, spiritual death. So let me say, first of all, begins with desire. The normal desires of life were given to us by God, and in and of themselves were not sinful. Without these desires, we cannot function. Many of these desires keep us alive, keep us healthy. It is when we are tempted to satisfy these desires in ways outside of God's will, we get into trouble. I love to eat. But eating can become gluttony. Who loves to sleep? But too much sleep can lead to laziness. Desire for any of these good things, and the list can be even fuller, can become obsessions that control and destroy. Desire then is coupled with deception. No temptation appears as a temptation. It always seems more alluring than it really is. And James used two illustrations from the world of sports to prove his point. The word translated dragged away carried with it the idea of baiting a trap. And the word translated enticed means to bait the hook. So in essence, he says, the hunter and the fisherman had to use bait to attack or to attract the prey. No animal is going to deliberately step into a trap, and no fish will knowingly bite a naked hook. The idea is to hide the trap by using a bait. Temptation always carries with it some bait that appeals to our natural desires. The bait not only attracts us, but it also hides the fact that yielding to its desires will eventually bring sorrow and punishment. The consequences of sin are real. Despite what popular opinion may be today, the consequences of sin are real. And the strength of a desire blinds us to it. Sin might promise pleasure, but in the end, as the Word of God says, delivers pain. So desire coupled with deception leads to disobedience. Disobedience is the act of sin. After a desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. What starts with our initial thoughts and feelings, if allowed to germinate, leads to definite action and an act of disobedience to God. And here James works with the analogy of reproduction. Desire leads to conception, which eventually leads to birth. Finally, when the disobedience continues and matures, it ends in death. There is no future in sin. Sin's course is inevitably downward. So far, we have seen that temptation is inevitable, inexcusable, and predictable. But I want to close with this morning and say that temptation is conquerable. James concludes this section with an affirmation of God's character. We can win the battle against temptation and sin, not because of us, but because of God. James reminds us that every good and perfect gift is from God, our Father from above. He reminds us that God does not change like shifting shadows. He reminds us that God has given us birth through the word of truth. In 2 Peter 1 and 3, Peter declared, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 13, Paul gives us this promise, and he says, No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. The truth is, everything we need to resist temptation is available to us this morning through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through God's power, everything we need for godliness is available. God restricts the power of temptation so that it cannot overpower us. What are some things we can do to aid us to conquer the desire for the temptation of sin? Now, this survey goes back a long way, but I felt that is very important even today. In a survey from Discipleship Journal, now this dates back to 1992, which, you know, it's a long time ago. Respondents noted that temptations were more potent when they had neglected their time with God. I don't think that has changed today. Said that temptation was more potent when they had neglected their time with God. 57% noted that when they were physically tired, that the temptation was more potent than if they were well rested. They also noted that the greatest assets in resisting temptations were prayer, at 84%. Avoiding compromising situations at 76%. Knowing the Word of God was at 66%. And being accountable to someone else was at 52%. That was from 1992, but I think it's as much as it was relevant then, it's relevant now. So let me suggest that the following should be a part of your game plan when it comes to resisting temptation. Trust the Lord first, foremost. Put God first. You know that old slogan, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? Then come bring that to mind. When you're faced with temptation, what would Jesus do? Fight temptation with prayer and reading the Word of God. And friends, this is a part that we all can play this morning. Rely on the encouragement of others, of my brothers and sisters. That includes you and I. Let our light shine, that others might see the glory of our Lord. Hebrews 3:13 draws attention to that fact, relying on the encouragement of one another. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's my prayer for you this morning. Let's come before the Lord in an attitude of prayer. As we reflect upon His Word this morning, the song says, I do not ask the Lord that all my life may be an easy, smooth, and pleasant path. 'Twould not be good for me. But oh, I ask today that grace and strength be given to keep me fighting all the way that leads to God and heaven. I'd like for us to sing the first two verses of this song together, please. I do not ask. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Father, that it reminds us that we are not victims to our temptations. But Father, we can resist through the power of your word. We can resist, Lord, through the strength that we have in knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I'm reminded of your wilderness experience when you were tempted for 40 days. But yet, Lord, you resisted. You used the power of God. You used Scripture as a means of resisting and defeating the devil. God, I believe that this morning we are all tempted in various ways through various circumstances. Temptations come in many forms. But God, I pray that this morning, that as your people, that we will be obedient to your word, that we will hear your voice speaking to us. And that, Father, that we will take responsibility. And Father, if we yield to that temptation, to the temptations of sin, that God, that we will ask for forgiveness. That we will ask of you only what you could do to forgive us of our wrongs. Thank you for this day. I thank you, Father, for these, your people. Continue to bless us throughout this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's sing the final verse together. And what if strength should fail and heart more deeply bleed? Or what if dark and lonely days draw forth the cry of need? That cry will bring thee down, my needy soul to fill, and thou wilt teach my yearning heart to know and do thy will. The final verse, let's stand together as we sing. Just a reminder, following our service, you are certainly welcome to go into the multipurpose room, the gymnasium, for fellowship and some tea, coffee, refreshments after the service. Also, again, if you're planning on attending any of those events that are in the bulletin that Diane mentioned earlier, like the ladies' event, be sure to get your ticket for that afternoon, as well as for the Sunday dinner, lunch, following the service on our anniversary weekend. Just see Donna or Lily, and they'll have tickets for you for that event as well. Our final song is, Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers of their lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? Have you ever seen so many questions being asked through a particular phrase, sentence, paragraph? There are several that's asking of us, as we sing, answer those so you know within your heart where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ. The first two verses together, please.
Thank you.
my voice is not able to handle the talking and the singing. So I'm starting to lose the voice, and I'm hearing myself making notes that are not too good to my ears. So anyways, let's repeat the third verse together, and we'll sing the fourth verse. Jesus, thou hast bought us, not with gold or gem, but with thine own lifeblood for thy diadem. With thy blessing filling each who comes to thee, thou hast made us willing, thou hast made us free. The final verse and the chorus together. Before we sing the benediction this morning. God, our Father, I thank you for how you've been with us, how you've blessed us, how you've strengthened us, how you've used us. And God, I pray that for today and for this week, oh God, I pray that your hand of goodness, your hand of mercy will be upon us all until we have that opportunity to meet together again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the God we adore.